We are in John, the 14th chapter, verses 24 through 27, and we're looking at the Holy Spirit with a message entitled, The Comforter Has Come. And this is Jesus talking to the disciples. All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at the Comforter has come. And first I wanted to start with something a little humorous. I heard about these four Catholic ladies who were talking, and one of the Catholic ladies said to the other one, she said, well, I just want you to know that my son is a priest, and everyone calls him father. Well, the next Catholic woman said, well, my son is a bishop, and everyone calls him your grace. And the other woman said, well, my son is a cardinal, and when people enter the room, they say, your eminence. And the fourth Catholic woman said, well, my son is 6'5", and he's got broad shoulders, and he always dresses really good, and he's handsome, and when he enters the room, all the women say, oh my God. Speaking of God, I know, not the best segue, but hey, got to stay on the right side of the ladies. Well, this morning we're looking at The Comforter Has Come, and as I was doing the series on John, I expected that either last Sunday or this Sunday would be Pentecost Sunday, because that's about when it normally falls, only to find out later that it's actually the second Sunday in June that is Pentecost Sunday this year. And so I won't be here. I'll be on vacation. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit because John has probably the most extended teaching of Jesus on the Holy Spirit in the Bible, and I think it's important. And so I'd like to look at that this morning. And I'd like to walk back in the story and set the context for you because what has happened is really this is in the Last Supper, and Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. And it's an incredible act of humility. It really was the lowest servant who would do that. So Jesus has washed the feet of the disciples, and they're having the Last Supper. Judas has left the room, gone to betray Jesus. Jesus will shortly go to the garden where he will pray, not my will, but thine be done. He will also pray for all of us as well as the disciples. And then Jesus will go and lay down his life on Calvary before he is given his life and then resurrected to new life. And so he's teaching on the Holy Spirit here. And Jesus knows what the disciples don't know is he's going to be crucified. They will be incredibly discouraged. This is not something, despite Jesus' teaching, that they had expected. They were expecting a kingdom here on earth, and that was not going to be the case, so they would be discouraged. And then they would be looking for the right direction. They'd be looking for wisdom in decisions to be made, and then finally they would need strength for the day to get through the trials and difficulties of life. Now it's also true that really, even after Jesus' resurrection, in their ministry and the challenges they faced in life, that they would need all those three things. And so Jesus teaches on the Holy Spirit. And I think it's also true for us, if you think about our life from day to day, that don't we face some of those things in a different context? I mean, don't you and I get discouraged in life by the challenges that we face? And don't you and I face decisions and we need wisdom on that and we need guidance by God's word? And don't we need strength to face the challenges of the day? And so Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit, and Jesus tells the disciples, if I were to boil it down, I'd say three things about the Holy Spirit that I think really are truths that we can take hold of today. And that is the Spirit is there to encourage us, to enlighten us, and to empower us. So I'd like to think about that in the context this morning. And first, to encourage. And so Jesus is at this Last Supper. And Jesus speaks, beginning in chapter 14, I just sort of back up, and I encourage you actually to read, when you have a chance, all of 14, 15, and 16. We don't have time for all that this morning. But Jesus weaves all these themes of the Holy Spirit together. But Jesus speaks some words of comfort in the beginning of chapter 14 that I think are some of the most encouraging words in all the Bible. And many times when I walk into a hospital room and you know that the person doesn't have long to live and they're looking for words of encouragement, Psalm 23 and this passage are some of the most encouraging I can think of. But it's not even at the end of life to know that Christ is present for us each and every day, all along the way is incredibly encouraging. But this is what Jesus says to the disciples. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." You know, it's beautiful words of encouragement, kind of the imagery of God's house on a shore, on heaven's gates, where we will go to join the Lord. But Jesus is also saying there will be a spirit of God's peace that's there with us in an important way. And, of course, as I said, the disciples are about ready to experience, all of a sudden the Roman guards will converge on Jesus. Judas has betrayed Jesus. Jesus will be taken away, sentenced to death, and crucified. And disciples' hearts would be broken, their dreams would be dashed, and Jesus is promising them the Holy Spirit. Now, when you think about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know, most of us have some imagery when it comes to God the Father. We think of a heavenly parent, or we think of the Creator. Maybe what comes to mind for you is God creating Adam and breathing life into him in that great painting by Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel. Or maybe that's not it. We just think of God sort of breathing the worlds into existence. And we think of this, you know, masterpiece of engineering and beauty and art that we have as our universe. And then if I were to say God as Jesus, God's Son, you, of course, think of Jesus and giving his life on Calvary and Jesus teaching and the risen Lord. But when we say Holy Spirit, it's a little more difficult. We usually have the image of the dove coming down to Jesus, or we see sometimes in the stained glass window the Spirit in the form of a dove. But beyond that, it's kind of hard to imagine what the Spirit is. And the Scripture itself says the Spirit is like the wind that blows where it will. And in some ways, that seems like, oh, that's not really comforting. But in other ways, if you think about it, it is comforting. When you think about God's presence to us, Jesus promised, he said that unless I go to the Father, then I cannot send the Comforter, the Advocate, and that will bring you the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of strength. And so today, sometimes you may not be able to see God, but maybe you can feel God's presence in a stronger way. You can feel God's peace in a powerful way. Many times I've walked into a hospital room, maybe you have too, and the news is not as good as you'd like it to be, and there's a lot of anxiety and there's a tenseness in the room. And then we'll pray. And then all of a sudden, even though things aren't going the way that you feel maybe you'd like them to go, all of a sudden you feel God's peace. And you feel God's strength and encouragement in a way that you wouldn't otherwise. And I think that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we just need to let ourselves go and to trust God and to rely on God's strength and to lean into the Holy Spirit. There's a wonderful story that I love, and it was a story of this plane that was in flight, and it was about ready to go into a storm, and so the flight attendant came back, and there was a little girl sleeping in one of the seats, and she woke the little girl up, and she said, "I just want to tell you, sweetheart, that the plane is going to come into a storm, and the plane might bounce around a little bit in the turbulence, and I just wanted you to know that." And the little girl said, "Is my daddy still at the controls?" And the flight attendant said, "Yes, your father's piloting the plane." And the little girl said, "Well, then everything will be okay." And I think that's true in our lives as well, maybe the imagery there, that you and I will face some storms in life. We will face some turbulence in life. But if we trust that God is at the controls, then everything will be all right. And I think the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. So the Holy Spirit is there to encourage us. And then the Holy Spirit is there to enlighten us. Have you ever had a moment when you were reading Scripture and you saw something that you never saw before, just like it opened up? Or maybe you needed wisdom for a decision and you prayed, and in that moment you sort of had a glimpse of the right pathway. I think that's God's Spirit there to enlighten us. And Jesus says this again in John 14, 25 through 27. He said, "And this I have spoken while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled or afraid." The Spirit will lead you into all truth and remind you of everything that I have taught you. And so God's Spirit is there to enlighten us. You know, the truth is, though, that we need to make room for God's Spirit if The Spirit is sort of going to enlighten the truth, and maybe we need to meet God halfway and read the Bible now and then, right? So he has some room to work. But have you ever had a moment where you're saying, well, I want to just open the Bible, and instead of just opening and reading, just sort of pray for a moment and sort of pray one of the ancient prayers of the church is, come Holy Spirit, right? And so ask for God's Spirit to enlighten God's Word and to guide you and to give you wisdom. Or if you have a decision to make, then ask for God's wisdom. And so Jesus teaches us that that's the way that we should go to prayer sometimes before the Lord. And so I wonder in our own lives, are we doing those things? Allowing the Spirit to encourage us, allowing God's Spirit to enlighten us, and finally, allowing God's Spirit to empower us. In verses 15 to 17, he says this, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You know, that's a great promise, isn't it? That God is there to empower us. Now, the word for advocate there is the word paraclete. And so if you think of paraclete, when you think of things that begin with para, you think of parabola, right, or parenthesis, something that comes around us. And so the idea of the paraclete is the one who's a comforter or advocate for us, the one who's there for us and there to give us strength and power each and every day. The Apostle Paul writes at one point in his life in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you recall that Paul had what he called a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what it was. And some people think, well, his eyesight was never healed all the way, and as he got older, his eyesight got worse. Other people say it was a problem with walking, with his back or something. We're not exactly sure, but Paul had something that troubled him, and he felt hampered him from doing ministry as much or as effectively as he'd like to. And so three times he went before the Lord in prayer, and we get the idea from Paul that he prayed long and hard about that for three times. But then he had a glimpse, sort of a word of wisdom from God, which was that in his weakness, he would feel God's strength all the more. He heard God's voice sort of whisper to him, my grace is sufficient for you. And so in Paul's weakness, he was able to feel God's strength in a new and more powerful way. And I think many times in our own life, as maybe you and I face the challenges of life, whether it's an illness or whether it's financial difficulties or loss of a loved one or many other things in life, we give an opportunity for God's Spirit to come around us and to strengthen us in a powerful way. There's two things we talk about sometimes, or Paul does at length, and he talks about God's fruit of the Spirit. And so if you think about, not only do we sort of allow Christ to forgive us and give us his strength and love, but we try to follow Christ and allow God's Spirit to work in us. And so Paul has this imagery of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, do you remember from Sunday school what the fruit of the Spirit are? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you remember all those? That's in Galatians. Those are things Paul is saying, that if we sort of allow our roots to go down deep, we're not only be able to memorize that, but we begin to take on the characteristics of Christ. Now, we have our own unique personalities, and that won't change, but the fruit of the Spirit helps us to be disciples of Christ that grow into the image of Christ, and you and I as the body of Christ begin to reflect Christ's characteristics in a new way. There's also the gifts of the Spirit, right? So we have natural gifts, and the natural gifts, you know, some folks are science people, they're engineers or math people, and other people are artists. There's all kinds of natural gifts, but there's also the gifts of the Spirit. And we don't have time to go into all of that, but Paul talks about, you know, there's teaching and preaching, there's hospitality, there's people who visit the sick. There's all kinds of things. And Paul's saying, you and I all have some unique gifts of the Spirit, and none of us have all those. But what he's saying, it's new and different when we're empowered by the Spirit. Now, at our Wednesday evening Bible study, someone shared the other week, and I thought it was really good because I'd heard this before, but I honestly had forgotten about it. But you probably know that Spirit in Greek is pneuma, right? The idea is if you garage at home, you have these pneumatic tools, right? And so you have all kinds of different tools. You know, they might be hammering tools or chiseling tools or whatever. And those tools just sit around your garage or your home. But if you hook them up to the pneumatic hose, then all of a sudden those tools will come to life. And so the idea is that you and I have gifts and talents, but when we're plugged into the Spirit, then all of a sudden those gifts and talents come alive with new power and are able to do new things. And so the question might be, are you plugged into God's pneumatic codes this morning, into God's spirit, so that God can do new and greater things in you. And so God's spirit helps us to be empowered to have the fruit of the spirit. God's spirit helps us to be empowered to use the gifts of the spirit and to really grow into the life of Christ. There's a great story that I like, and it's the story of this Native American grandfather who's with his grandson, and his grandson has been having trouble misbehaving at school and what have you. And so the grandfather comes along to the son and says, you know, there's two animals at war in us, and one is a wolf and one is a dove. And the wolf wants you to do some bad things, and the dove wants you to do some good things. And the little boy said, yeah, I get that. He says, but which will win, Grandpa, the wolf or the dove? And the grandfather says, well, whichever one you feed. And it's really true. When you think about the imagery of the spirit as the dove, you and I have to feed the dove in our life. And when we do that, we empower God to help us to take on the image of Christ and the qualities of Christ in our lives. And so I don't know what you're struggling with today. Most of us are struggling with something. Jesus, in this moment, not only in John, but also in that passage in Acts, promises the disciples that they will receive power from on high, a new power, a presence of God that will be with them then and in the days and years ahead. And the Holy Spirit is with us in the church today. And so I challenge us to open our hearts and lives to God's Spirit, because when we do, we feel encouragement. When we do, we have ways that we are enlightened. And when we do, we can be empowered to live a life that is full of the characteristics of Christ as well as the gifts of Christ, and to minister and to serve God and others in a new way. I'm going to close with this illustration. It's a story that I love, a true story, and kind of the image of this paraclete that comes around us. And so the story is told of Ignace Paderewski, who's the great Polish pianist. And he was traveling the world doing these concerts, and this mother, her young son, had just started piano lessons and done his first recital, and he'd done it okay, and so the mother wanted to reward him, and she also wanted to inspire him, and so she took him to a Paderewski concert, and the stage was darkened, and the mother turned back to talk to some friends in a row behind her, and unbeknownst to her, and this little boy got up on the stage and is eyeing this beautiful Steinway piano, and she didn't notice until the lights came up that he was up there plinking out chopsticks on this piano. Well, the mother was horrified, but this great concert pianist, Paderewski, walks out onto the stage very quickly and whispers to the boy, don't quit, keep playing. And with that, he reached his left arm around the little boy and started filling in a bass part, and then reached his right hand around the boy and started to fill in a running obbligato, and together that young boy and that great maestro composed a great piece of music. And I think maybe it's the same way in our lives. You and I do our best, and we have our gifts and talents, and we try at the great piano of life. But whatever our weaknesses are, if we allow God's Spirit to come around us and to begin to fill in those pieces that we don't have, all of a sudden we'll find a new encouragement for the day. All of a sudden we'll feel God's strength to empower us, and all of a sudden we'll be enlightened in a new way to live the life that God would have for each of us. And so I challenge us to open our hearts and lives to God and to allow God's Spirit to encourage us, to enlighten us, and to empower us to serve Christ and to serve others. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we often do face some struggles in life, and we need strength, and we need wisdom, and we need encouragement. We're so thankful that you offer us your Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, the one who comes to us and gives us peace, the comforter, the one who shows us the path of truth and wisdom, and the one who empowers us to serve you and to serve others. Help us, Lord, today and each and every day to open our hearts and lives to your Spirit, that we may draw strength for the moment, wisdom for the day, and encouragement to do the right thing. We pray this in Christ's name.